It's Gospel 1590, 106.1 FM on demand.
Well, hello to you, and thank you so much for joining us. And I am glad to welcome, although I don't think he is an original Texan, but he, I believe, is a Texan at this time, and that's my home state. And we want to welcome none other than the Dr. Ernest Pugh.
How you doing, huh?
I am doing great. Now, wow, Dr. Ernest Pugh.
Yes, sir.
Now,
Is that
what, you know, how they say, well, you know, he's been doing this thing for a little while, so let us bestow something on him.
I wish, man. Look, I'd have less gray hairs if that were the case, but no. Well, I started on this journey with a Master of Divinity degree. And then a few years later, I was asked to go into an adjunct professor situation. So to do that and really get really grandfathered in, you need a PhD. I couldn't get a PhD, but I went and got a doctorate of ministry and Christian counseling. And so all of that happened. Oh, man, 2004 for the Master of Divinity. And then around 2008, I got a doctorate. Doctorate of Theology and Pastoral Counseling.
Well, let's rewind a little bit. You know, I've been in this thing for a little while. Now, when I first heard the name Ernest Pugh, and you can correct me if I've gotten any of this wrong, I heard that he was a young man that had been writing songs for a lot of other artists and maybe even doing some production for other artists. And then he just decided to launch out on his own and do his own thing. And he came out with that first recording. Now, is any of that correct, or did I get any of that wrong?
Well, I didn't have any production. I had basically just been, doing background. Byron Cage, I was a background singer for him for about 10, 12 years.
Wow.
I also worked on his ministerial staff, his musical staff with him for 10 years. And so I wasn't writing and producing, but I was just doing background. And then I would, you know, just go around, help out where I could with other artists that were in the area. And then I started a record company, EPM Music Group, a little later to kind of catapult some other people out there. Crystal Rucker, Vincent Tharp, Charles Butler, John Paul McGee, Keith Williams, to name a few. That's kind of how it was. But I always kind of had my feet in the fire just a little bit. And then I got serious about it around 2006 when I did the Worshipers Perspective album with Wrapped Up, Tied Up, Tangled Up, and Holy Spirit and all that on it.
Wow, you know, when you say Crystal Rucker, you make chills go down our spine.
That's Kansas City, baby.
we love ourselves some Miss Crystal Rucker.
I do too. She is my favorite, and I mean it. I tell her all the time. I post her on my page, and I said, I'm not just a friend, but I'm a fan.
Amen. Speaking with Dr. Ernest Pugh. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about your musical background, but you've served our country, I understand.
Correct. Yes, I did 20 years in the United States Army. I joined when I was 18, you know, running from really my calling. I didn't want to do ministry. Definitely didn't want to be in the music industry. And joined at 18 and stayed there for 20 years. I have a full retirement from the United States Army, and we thank God for it the first of every month.
Amen. Now, born in Memphis, Tennessee, and how did you find your way to the state of Texas?
Through the military.
Okay, okay.
When I left Memphis, Tennessee, I had never, ever, ever been on a flight in my life. So the United States Army flew me to Fort McClellan, Alabama for basic, and then to, I was in Virginia. I was in Fort Belvoir, Virginia. And then I wound up, my first duty station was Fort Hood, Texas, about 2.5 hours from here. And so once I got here, I was like, hey, I kind of like this South. It's comparable to Memphis, Tennessee. And so when I retired and everything, I said, you know, I went and served, of course, with Byron on the East Coast. But then I migrated right on back down here to get some Southern cuisine in Texas.
Well, you know, I know that you've been through some adversity. I remember doing the report back when they had the storms there in Texas, and I saw a picture, and man, mm-hmm. all we could see was I think my friend Victor Speedy McCray might have sent that to me. All we could see mm-hmm. was the roof of your house.
Yeah, it was crazy. We lost. Oof, I'm grateful that I was able to get to a file cabinet.
Wow.
That still had my birth certificate and my transcripts from school. And, you know, things that you need. Like, they're not going to excuse tax paperwork. I was able to stay compliant with the IRS, which is very important. But in terms of, man, gutting and having to redo sheetrock and carpet and furniture, we all, listen, when State Farm cut that check, it looked almost like what the the worth of the house was. I was like, are you kidding me? All right, we need to just uproot and just go somewhere totally different. But through the grace of God, we was able to. God restored everything, really, and more that we lost.
What storm was that? I know it was. It wasn't Katrina. It was after Katrina. Hurricane Harvey.
It was crazy because we survived the actual hurricane itself, which came in on a Friday night. I got up on a Saturday and actually flew out and did an engagement. I came back Monday after they had opened the levees, and that's when the flooding took place. They had to release some of the water because it was backing up so bad in downtown.
Wow.
And I was all excited. I was like, hey, all of my cars are good. And I'm bragging. And so I'm on the plane, getting ready to board a plane. And they're like, hey, they're getting ready to open the levees. Go straight home. Don't go eat. Don't go just leave your bags. Go straight. And by the time I got to my house, I didn't recognize my street.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
You couldn't see anything. And so the only thing I could do was get as close as I could. And I was looking at the cameras, my security cameras. And I was like, where's the street? Where is the mailbox? I couldn't see anything. And so that picture with the truck showing, I was like, wow.
You know, some people, Dr. Pugh, would say, man, I've been out here ministering and doing this and now this.
Right.
They would have taken their hand from the plow.
Yeah, man. I was really just so excited that when it happened on Friday that I was, oh, is it over? And they said, well, you know, that's it. The most of it has done what it's going to do. The lake and stuff got pretty bad flooding, but you're good. You're in the clear. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll keep my engagement. So I got on a plane Saturday. And I was watching the devastation on the news, and I was like, well, I'm so blessed. I'm uphill. I'm up. Kind of like elevated, so I'm not in the places where all the water and stuff is. I'm on the north side of Houston, so I'm testifying, and I get home, and my testimony turns into just a nightmare.
We're glad that God brought you through that. We're glad that it was kind of controlled by man, so you kind of would have known what was happening, and it didn't catch you by surprise. You know,
right.
If you had been in the house and that happened.
That's true.
Right.
Now, that's true. So I do thank God.
Dr. Ernest Pugh, and you have been giving us so many great gospel songs down through the years. Now, you can hit some notes, man. I mean, you can get up there. So.
Hey, it just depends, man. Just all depends on what the pollen count is, you know?
So did you start singing in high school or as a teen, or where did it all start for you?
Well, I've been a part of the church since I can remember, like sleeping on the pew. At 8 years old, my great-grandma and them kind of pushed me to get in the Sunshine Band, little choir. And then the Orlando Draper, who was the choir master of Memphis, Tennessee, kind of took note of me when I was about 12, around 14. I was singing in community choirs, and so fast. Fast forward, man, to like high school, I auditioned for a gospel choir. And when I went to audition, she was like testing to see what voice I'm going to sing. Am I going to sing tenor? Am I going to sing baritone, second tenor? And so I went into my falsetto register, and she said, well, let's see how high you can go. She's like, do you realize you have a 5-octave range? So I was like, I don't even know what that is. All I know is it's high. She said, you're going to sing alto. So she put me with the altos, and I was the first male alto she'd had. And from there on, it was like, use that falsetto, man. It's kind of different. Sets you apart. And I'm grateful for it because when I came into the industry, it was people like John P. Key, Daryl Coley, Fred Hammond, Marvin Sapp. The solo artists all had such a uniqueness, and I knew I was going to have some type of wow factor if I was going to get any radio, get any bookings, get any record deals. And so that's what my management team told me. They said, we're going to use your ranks to open the door.
I'm a bass and baritone, and you just make me close the door and just go home.
I hear you, man. I wish I could get that low sometime, especially come Valentine's Day. You know, you want to have that voice. It don't work. It don't work.
Oh boy, Dr. Ernest Pugh, and I appreciate it. I can tell that you have a little bit of a personality too, and I appreciate that, man. Because you know, sometimes you interview artists and they're like, yes, no.
Very dry, huh?
Right. Well, your latest hit, God Wants to Heal You, man. I mean, how timely. Every time I play that song, I'm like, how timely is this and what the world is going through in these times?
You know, I'm surprised just at the response of that song. I actually recorded that song, Reggie, in 2008. When I recorded the Rain On Us record, I closed the recording with that song.
Wow.
So it was not even supposed to be a part of the Outpour Experience album that I released in May. But when Kobe Bryant and his lovely daughter were in that fatal crash, we sent that song, YouTube clip of video, to his wife. And the next morning we woke up, there was like 30,000 views and comments.
Wow.
About the song, and people were requesting it. I was getting calls from radio stations. And so Kerry Douglas, who at the time we were working together to just figure out what the single was going to be for the record, he said, I know you got 14 new songs, but the song that I really feel God is really speaking through you to this current reality is God Wants to Heal You. Would you please allow us to do that? And I was like, are you kidding me? Man, I got this. And I'm going and going and going. And then we look up and boom, the pandemic hits 3-4 weeks later.
Wow.
So we had to obey what God was saying, do even though we had spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to get this brand new record out with all new music. It just wasn't what God was speaking at the moment. So we had to surrender. And I'm so grateful that we did, because we've gotten so much outpouring of how it affects people who've been in ICU dealing with COVID, but even some un-COVID related diseases, but couldn't get to their family. And they just played God Wants to Heal You. And it was just an affirmation and a confirmation of how God's healing hand will touch them right where they are. And so I'm so grateful for that vehicle of radio, man. Y'all exposed it to your listening audience. And that's what made it, you know, really what it is now. And I'm grateful to you all for that.
And you recently made it to the number one spot on the Billboard chart. Is that correct?
With that 12-year-old song, you're correct.
I mean, God's timing, I guess you could say. Huh? God's timing.
Because we were like, are you serious? And, I mean, it's our third number one. But the biggest thing about this particular number one is God was almost like, I'm going to go through your playlist and I'm going to tell you what's going to be played at this time. And that's why this one is the more special to us, because it was God ordained. It was his decision. We can't take any credit for God choosing that song. It had nothing to do with me.
Well, I see that you and I have something a little in common. My dad is a retired CME pastor. In the Dallas, Texas area, and I see that you have spent some time as a minister of music in the AME church.
I did. I was at Ebenezer AME Church for 10 years, and it was tremendous because it's totally different. I was raised Kojic.
Okay.
But I took that job at an AME church, and I was like, well, am I going to have to do anthems and spirituals and hymns? And they said, you have to know all four verses of a hymn if you're going to an AME church, a Methodist church. And so it really helped me, man. It helped me really balance out what the hymns mean, what the etymology of the hymn is, what it was derived from, what the experience. I felt like, well, hey, I can go get a degree in hymnology now, I guess.
Right.
I'm a hymnologist.
And it's funny, I had a chance to speak with Dr. Karen Clark Sheard, and I shared with her that I was a CME, and I was introduced to the Church of God in Christ. And you were you were a Church of God in Christ, and you were introduced to the AME.
I'm a half-breed. I'm a little bit of it all. I grew up Kojic. Then I went to a non-denominational church in Compass Cove, Texas, where I stayed for 12 years. Then I went AME, and then back non-denominational. I'm here with the Lakewood Church in Houston. So it's like I feel like a half-breed. I got a little bit of everything.
Well, you're walking in the shoes of the great Apostle Paul, because that's the way he got.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I'm going to release you soon, Dr. Pugh. I appreciate you taking our time. And when I hear the songs that you songwriters write, and I often say it on the air, do you all realize that this is a miracle? I mean, how do you sit down and you come up with the words, you come up with the melody, and it just all flows together, and then it ministers to the heart and the soul of the people? I think that that's a miracle of God in itself.
You know, and I describe it too. I think it's a miracle too, because to adequately convey a message on behalf of God to the people of God takes discipline, because you could try to give your own interpretation and give a spin. But I think when God can trust you to go out there to the people and say exactly what he told us to say, If he can trust you to do that, I think you'll continue to be relevant. You'll continue to be in great demand. But it has to be a thing to where it's all about him. We have to decrease and allow God to increase. And when we do that, he channels through us. He moves through our voice. He moves through our pen for us to write and properly articulate what this message is that he wants to convey to his people.
Dr. Ernest Pugh. Again, we appreciate you being with us today. Now, how can people follow you on, you know, we're in that age, and thank God we had social media because it has become a great platform for God's word to continue in the times that we've been experiencing lately. But how can people reach out and find out more about your ministry and follow you and keep up with what's happening with Dr. Ernest Pugh?
It's the easiest way is www.ernestpugh.com. It's my website. Also on any of the social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, I am at Ernest Pugh. And Ernest is with an A-E-A-R-N-E-S-T. And I would love to hear from you.
All right. But Dr. Ernest Pugh, hold it down there in Texas for me. Now, let me go back just a little bit. How did you enjoy the snow? And were you affected by any of the
power? Oh, my God. So I was having fun with the snow. It was all just fun. I'm all out and doing my thing, you know. And then all of a sudden, we had no power come Sunday. And I was without power all the way until, say, Wednesday. But the blessing is that I had a gas stove, and I also have a gas fireplace, and then I have a generator.
Okay.
So I was blessed to be able to have several families to come in and out of my house to get their showers done, to get their cooking and stuff done. So it was, to me, it had its challenges for my people in the neighborhood. I felt bad for them, but I really took time to just, we had Bible study, we had fellowship, we had cookouts, everybody was COVID-free. So I had at one time about six different families staying with me and from my neighborhood. Just, I knocked on the door, hey, I don't see lights on, do you have power? And so it was a blessing. Where evil is, God, he of grace abounds even much more. So we were not going to let some power out and steal our joy. We got some fish. We got some good old fried chicken. And we just made it into a family affair, man.
I have a big grin on my face because I can tell that you are a giving man of God. You are are a blessing to the body of Christ, and we need that in this day and time. And again, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you so much, man, for taking out of your busy schedule and sharing this time with us on today.
My honor. God bless you. See you next time.
All right. You be blessed.
It's Gospel 1590, 106.1, and the Afternoon Praise Party on demand.